All right, if you'll take your Bibles and turn with me to Revelation. Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. I've been studying in this book for a little while now. I've really enjoyed this study. The Lord has opened so many things to my understanding, and it's been nothing but a blessing and a comfort. And just a reminder, this book of Revelation is not meant to baffle. It's meant to comfort. Remember, the saints at this time were in great tribulation, suffering, and persecution. And the Lord sent this revelation of Himself, and that's what it is. It is a revelation of Jesus Christ to the churches, to us, as well as to them. So I've enjoyed this study, and before we, I'll read the first couple of verses here, but then I want to give an introduction as to before what happened before this. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke of the pit, as a smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now here, we have in the ninth chapter of this book, the sounding of the fifth trumpet, which is the continuation of the opening of the seventh seal. Now remember, the Lord Jesus Christ, after His ascending, after His victory over sin, after He had been slain to redeem the elect of God, He ascended to heaven. And in chapter 5, we see Him there as the Lamb slain. And He received, He had taken the book from the right hand of God, which is the book of salvation and of divine providence concerning the suffering of the church, and He opens the seals of this book. It was sealed perfectly with seven seals. And He opens the seals of this book, and this first seal He opens was the white horse, the man riding on the white horse, which is a picture of Christ. Christ riding forth to conquer the hearts of His people. And then immediately after that seal, there was the second, third, and fourth seal, which was the red horse of war, the black horse of poverty, and the pale horse of death. And you know this, believer, this is not something outside of us. This is our experience of grace is what it is. When Christ opens the book of salvation to us, what's the first thing we see? Christ. The first thing is revealed to us is Christ and His conquering of us. Then, after that, what comes after Christ? Suffering. Suffering. We begin to war with ourselves. We begin to war with the old man. We begin to war with the world and the devil. These are warfare. And then there's poverty. Believers, we're in this life suffer great poverty. We suffer great things in this life, and Christ is telling us this so we're not surprised when it comes. And death. Believers are not exempt from death in this body. We're not exempt from sickness or any kind of physical hurt. But I tell you this, as these horses had limited power, even so has these sufferings limited power. Because we know this, they that blessed and holy are they that have part in the first resurrection, over which the second death hath no power. See, death only has so much power. It can only take this body, but it cannot take this soul. And sure enough, it can't even hold this body, can it? Pretty soon it's going to have to give up this body. So that's what's revealed by those horses, the first four seals. And then you have that fifth seal opened. The fifth seal reveals the place of all those who have suffered and died in faith, which is what? They are under the altar. They're under the altar. They're under Christ. And they are now robed in white robes given to them. And what is it told them? That they should wait, that they should rest until the rest of the elect are brought in. In chapter 7, we have been assured of this, that God has a chosen people, which is represented by the 144,000. And you know, judgment will not come. In that chapter, it's all about the judgment being withheld. Judgment will not come until all are sealed, until all of the 144,000, all of the elect, which is a definite number representative of a great multitude, an indefinite number. You remember at that time, John saw a great multitude in heaven praising God and worshiping Him. That number of the 144,000, we are sure of this, that all of them shall be brought in and sealed. And you know what I like about that? That angel that had the seal is Christ. And that angel, Christ, comes and He brands His people. He owns them, and He comes and He seals them with His blood. And not one of them shall be lost. And we see that the purpose of God then, and this last seal in chapter 8, the seventh seal is open, then comes out this, trumpets. It says in chapter 7, verse 1, these four angels, chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, He opened the seventh seal and there were seven angels given seven trumpets. What's the purpose of a trumpet? It's to warn of judgment. To warn of the impending doom. That's what they did in Ezekiel 33. It says, a watchman standeth on the tower and he blows the trumpet to sound the warning. And that's what these trumpets are representative of. They're representative of judgments of God. Warnings. And even so now, as in all ages, God has sounded these trumpets by many different calamities. And again, I would be amiss to remind you that these trumpets do not symbolize a single event, nor are they separate events, but rather they refer to the woes that may be seen at any day of the year in any part of the world. You listen, those trumpets are sounding today. Is there not a war in Afghanistan? You know what that is? That's a trumpet. Are there not earthquakes? Are there not famines? Are there not deaths all around us? What is that? That is a warning. It is a warning that judgment is coming. God is coming in judgment against the wicked. And He chose this in part by these temporal judgments. Yet believers in Christ, though these earthly calamities may providentially fall on us. I mean, are there not believers in that war? You bet there are. Are there not believers in our army that have suffered and died because of that war? You bet there are. You bet there are. Yet, these evils are not a judgment to the saints. They're not a judgment. I already revealed what they are to us. They're seals. They're seals of war. They're seals of famine. They're seals of death and sickness. Those are what is seals to us is a trumpet to the lost. So whatever calamity that happens to us, know this, it's not for judgment. Remember, believer, our judgment is past in Christ. Our judgment is past. God has already judged our sins in Christ and will not judge them again. He would be unjust to do so. And so then, the same event that happens to the saved happens to the lost. Yet God has a different purpose for the same event. For you, it is for your good. For them, it is a warning of death and hell, of judgment to come. It is meant to draw the sealed saint closer to Christ. They cause us to grow in grace and faith and love. But to the lost, the same calamity, all evils and troubles are a trumpet of warning, calling them to repent. And so now, with trumpets being blown here, the first four trumpets in chapter 8, if you look at the chapter 8 and verse 7, it said the angel sounded, the first one. And there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and the green grass was burned up. The second angel sounded, and it was a great mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. A third part of the creatures that were in the sea died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and the fountains of waters, and the name of the star was called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, a third part of the sun was smitten, a third part of the moon, a third part of the stars, a third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. You know, what do all of these things have in common? You see the common thread through all of these trumpets? They are earthly things. They're earthly things. The herbs, the trees, the sea, the fish, the ships, the sun, the moon, the stars, the heavens. These are all things in the earth or in our sphere of experience in this world. And notice that only a third part. In other words, these aren't full judgments. These are only partials. These only happen to a certain portion, not the whole at one time. Common thread is they speak of earthly tragedies, famines, droughts, calamities. And surely the troubles and events of the world may surely, to those outside of Christ, be called wormwood. To those outside of Christ, they have no handle on calamities. I don't know how people live outside of Christ. I don't know how they tolerate it. It would drive a man, if he had any sense at all, drive him insane. He wouldn't be able to understand. That's why they ask these questions. They say, why is there so much suffering? Why is there... They don't have any clue as to what's going on here. And so every trouble is bitter to them. And you know what it does to them? It doesn't bring them to Christ. It only drives them further from Christ. Isn't that what trouble does? You see a man in trouble and you tell him about Christ, what thing he is. Ah, well, if God was God, then there shouldn't be any trouble or anything like that. You know, they blame God. They blame God. They don't want any part of it. Troubles of this world are bitter. These troubles make those sweet and pleasant lusts of the flesh bitter. Yet see, all the judgments are only partial. They only occur in the third part. Now I suggest you, every morning you could look around, read the news, and you'll see war, famine, and death. And I want you to realize that it's trumpets. The very thing God is saying in these texts is happening now. It's happening in our day. The trumpets are blowing all around us every day. The other day we got up to come to church last Sunday, and we had to go around because there was a major accident. This car was rammed right into a tree. It was on burn up. Come to find out, two teenagers driving that night hit that tree and both of them died. Now what is happening? A trumpet is being sounded to all around them. Death is coming. Death is coming. Hell is moving. Death is coming. Trumpets are being sounded all around us every single day. And what does this do for the lost man? The lost is weeping because then he is not able to enjoy his lusts and pleasures of this world. You see, the men go after sin as though it were, it would please him, only to find the end of it bitter. The angel then flies through the air and pronounces in chapter 8, verse 13, that there are three woes yet to come. There are four angels sounded, but three woes are yet to come on the inhabitants of the earth, three angels yet to sound. Now, these next three trumpets, and we're going to only deal with this one. I don't have time to deal with all of them at once. I want to just deal with this one fifth trumpet. But these next three trumpets are unlike the first three. The first three speak of carnal calamities, but rather the last three speak of spiritual woes, spiritual judgments. Spiritual judgments. First four trumpets, believers surely experience their different effects upon their bodies. We are pressed to prayer and moved toward God by these outward things. Even so it is with these next trumpets. Believers, I want to warn you, these trumpets are warnings to the lost. But I want you to be able to see them. The Lord puts them there so you can see them for your benefit. For your benefit. These spiritual judgments of which are all false religion. They will and do cause the church much pain. Have you not seen that? You can't read any history of the church, and even in our present day, and not see that the false free will works religion of our day is very painful to the church. But as we shall see, they will in no wise be able to pluck or kill one of God's people. Not one of them shall be killed who are sealed with the blood of Christ. Now the apostle saw a star, and he said that in verse 1. He said, I saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened this pit, and the smoke billowed out, and it darkened the air. And in verse 3, what come out of this smoke, he said, it came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them that were therein were given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Do you see how their power is limited? Their power is limited. Now this one who is opening this pit, we know this to be the one who has fallen from heaven, even Lucifer. O Lucifer, son of the morning, how art thou fallen? And to him was given of God to open this pit of sin and false religion. Who is the author of all false religion? Is it not Satan? The Lord Jesus Christ said he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. This one who opens this pit is none other than the murderer of men's souls. And that which comes out of this is the demonic influence in the world. Even now, this filthy smoke of deception and delusion is heavily fills the air around us. Be not deceived or blinded, my friends. Free will works religion is the religion of hell. It is the religion of hell. It is the smoke that billows out from its author, Satan. Satan is the author, and those who preach this gospel are these locusts who sting and blind men with ignorance and superstition and traditions of men and cause great chains to be bound upon their soul. False gospel always blots out the sun. It always blots out the sun. In this funeral of my aunt this past week, my parents were attending that funeral. I advised them that they shouldn't be going here because I knew what they would hear. But God seemed to intervene because instead of doing this, what they did is they do what they do on Sunday. They pass out paper and then they let people write what they think and then the preacher stands up and reads it. Don't think that's common. Why? Because they have no message of the sun. They blot out the sun with their opinions and experiences and things of this world. That's what they want to hear and that's what they preach. And it blots out the sun of righteousness. May God open the eyes then of the blind to see the light of Christ. Because that's the only way that it'll pierce through this darkness. The only thing that'll pierce through the darkness of false religion is the light of the gospel. Paul says, "For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." I tell you, we are now in such a time of satanic delusion. For the world is filled with the drones of Satan swarming forth the lies of self-salvation, vomiting forth the smoke and deception of Christ plus works, Christ plus law, Christ plus your free will. That's the smoke that billows out of the pits of hell today. Go and ask anyone, does man have a free will? And they'll laugh at you. Why? Because that to them, that's common knowledge. Why? The smoke billows out. It's blinded the minds of them which believe not. They have no clue what man's will is. That it's bound in chains of darkness and not free. Believer, in such a time, let us not then be moved from the simplicity that is in Christ. Our salvation is by the free and sovereign grace of God. Our salvation is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. How? By the washing of regeneration. That's how. How are you delivered from the darkness? By the washing of regeneration. The new birth, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Behold then the clarity and simplicity. In the midst of this darkness, listen, behold the simplicity. Don't be moved from it. Christ is all. I just can't put it in fewer words. Or here it is, Christ all. There it is. There it is. Christ all. Don't be moved from that. Though this smoke covers the entire world. Don't be moved from this, that salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. It is God who loved us and chose us. It was Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. It was the Holy Spirit who called and quickened us. And it is the Holy Spirit that shall keep us because He sealed us. And as we are told here in verse 4, they are commanded. Ah, I love this. Those locusts are commanded of God not to touch any green thing. Is not the Word of God the green thing they cannot touch? It is immutable, unchangeable. They've lied about it for years and have not been able to move it. They are only allowed to kill one group of people. Those who have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Remember I told you that's what happened. The angel in chapter 7, that's what he was sent to do, is seal the 144,000, all of the elect of God. So what can these people do to God's elect? Nothing. They will not affect the kingdom of God in the least degree. They have no impact on the king. You hear that a lot? We need to have an impact. You know what impact they have? None. None. In Jeremiah, God said this about false prophets. He said, I will not bless them at all. None whatsoever. See their big buildings? See their big congregations? Is that a blessing? Nope. God said, I won't bless them at all. How many saved out of there? None. None. You will not be saved under a false gospel. God won't use it. God won't use a false gospel. He only uses the true gospel. And so then they are not allowed to. So don't be moved from it, even though the smoke of hell rises so high in this world. Behold the smoke and lies of hell, that salvation is dependent upon the works and will of man, which was the lie of Satan from the beginning. Isn't that the first lie? Listen, consider this. When he tempted our mother, when he seduced her, it was deceived her. This was his lie. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, that is the same lie of free will works religion. You are as gods, being able to choose good or evil. Same lie. Same lie. Perpetuated from the beginning. The free will message declares that men are gods, being able to choose or discern good and evil. These promote that Jesus has a part of salvation, that His death made salvation possible for men to be saved. But man, being as God, a sovereign of his own destiny, can either deny God's glory or give glory to God. Look, believer, all around you. Look at your friends. If you have any friends in this world, they're not all believers. Look at your family, your neighbors, your loved ones who are under such bondage. I tell you, they are under the trumpet of God's judgment. Judgment is being sounded. Therefore, all false preachers and prophets of damnable gospel are pictured as locusts. Why? Because all locusts can do is devour. That's it. Kill. Kill. Destroy. Destruction. I'll give you an illustration of this. Have you not noticed that where there are more churches, it seemed to be that there's more immorality? the heavier the group of these churches get together, the more immoral the community becomes. Brother Moose Parks is out there in the islands, and at one time he had read this, or it was one of the highest murder rates per capita, means per amount of percentage of people on that island. But I tell you, there is a church every square block on that island. There's a church everywhere. And yet it's one of the highest. Why? Because it does. Free will works religion does not produce morality. It only produces the immoral behavior. It only encourages it. Well, I made my decision for Jesus, so now I just go and do what I want to. It encourages it. And so what do they do to try to stem the tide? They put more law on people. More law. Therefore, Paul warns us, of these things. Let me see, 2 Corinthians, read it for you, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And verse 1, he says, "Would to God you'd bear with me in a little of my folly, indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that you may I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means a serpent beguiled, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, so your mind shouldn't be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Christ, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might bear well with me." You go down in verse 13, he says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing that his ministers also transform as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Paul says, bear with me. Bear with me in this. Don't be moved from Christ. Don't be moved from Christ. Don't be deceived by their vain show. And that's what it is. It is a vain show. To us who believe, who love the truth of the gospel, we will by no means give space to them who preach such a gospel. You know why? They're accursed. Paul says, "If any man preach any other gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. Though they may appear moral, even as angels of light, don't be deceived by their vain religious show, by their beautiful garments and ceremonies." As I've told you before, believers, there are only two religions: works and grace. Works and grace. Salvation by grace or by works, there's no mixture. And see the truth. Power is given to them. Power, which power is clearly seen. If you by the word of God show a man plainly the truth, what will he do? Will he gladly accept it? You put a man into an academic, you put a man intellectually into a corner where, and the truth does that. There's anybody can do this with a little study. It's not complicated. But you put a man to the end, and I remember listening to this, one of these false preachers at one time. He said eventually he had got to the point where he said, "I don't care what the Word of God said." Eventually they'll get there. Why? Because the darkness has power over them. That's why they're under his control. And they cannot escape. Power is given to them to sting men to death with this gospel. Its power is seen. You tell them of this sovereignty of God. Brother Henry said were six stubborn truths. God is sovereign. That's stubborn. You can't move it. Man is absolutely depraved. God unconditionally chose His people from before the foundation of the world, gave them to Christ. Christ accomplished salvation for all of His elect, and every one of those elect will come to God, and every one of them that come to God will persevere till the end and receive glory. Now, those are six stubborn truths that cannot be moved or disproved by the Word of God. Matter of fact, they're all proved by the Word of God. You tell a man that, and he is under so much dominion of the old man and Satan that he will resist and spit and kick and despise that gospel, even to death. So don't tell me this false gospel don't have power. It says it. To them was given power. Power. And yet they are in such bondage they cannot and will not believe it. Isn't that what the... Doesn't that prove total depravity? That a man won't receive the gospel like that? Give him those six things and he will not receive it. Why? Because he cannot. Well, that gets under the craw of men, doesn't it? He cannot. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Tell a lost man that and see what power this darkness has over him. He will not believe it. And though all the powers of hell assault us, though they surround us, though they try to allure us, this is the promise of God to you. All of the sealed will not be seduced by that damnable heresy. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. Surely, division and error will occur in the gospel church. Even so, Paul said, those things must come. Division and heresies must and will arise even in the church of God. Among us. Why? Why would God permit such things? That they which are approved may be manifest among you. Isn't that so? Why does God allow this even in His church? To divide the true believers from the false. That's what He does. He makes manifest. I'm so thankful He does that. He makes manifest His people. Why? Because His people will continue in the truth and everyone else will go away into heresy. John said this, they went out from us because they were not of us. If they were of us, they would have no doubt continued with us. But that it should be manifest, they went out from us because they weren't of us. See what God is even doing? You won't be hurt by it. Even though it happens even in our midst. Even though it's painful for the church, isn't it? When those things come up. Yet God says this, those will not have dominion over my people. They will not touch my people. Now in verse 5, let's go back to our text. Verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as a torment of scorpions when it striketh a man. In those days men shall seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Verse 5, we are promised that such reigns throughout time of this demonic deception are limited. They're only for certain times that this rises up. For God has sent His men time and time again to break the backs of false religion. Have you not seen that? You not seen that, just for illustration, during Luther's day. You see how the Catholic Church had so darkened the sky during that time that they were not allowing anybody. I mean, physically, were not allowing anybody to worship God. They were persecuting the church to such degrees that they were killing them. But yet here it comes, God sends a man and sure enough raises him up to do what? Break the back of that false religion in that time. And he did. And sure enough, again, the dark cloud comes in and God sends in His men and breaks the back. Now, Luther did it in such for a wide group. Now, God does that daily with His preachers, with His men. Today, men, you may be in darkness. And today, God may use His message through His man to break the back of false religion in your heart and send His gospel to you. So their time, these times are limited. Let us therefore pray that God send forth laborers into His harvest to call out His people. Behold, the power of false religion shall not keep its prey. For Christ said this. He said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What are gates for? Keep in and keep out. You got it? By nature, Satan keeps his people in and keeps the gospel out until Christ decides to get one of his people and the gates and bars are torn apart. He reaches in and plucks the brand from the burning and pulls it out. And that's what he does every time. He breaks the back of false religion. Though the darkness of hell and the locusts of false religion fill the sky, their power is limited and shall not be able to keep the elect of God. When Jesus decrees the salvation of a sinner, the time, the place, the message, everything is determined. And when that time comes, not the gates of hell will prevail against it. He'll break through and get his people. And none shall stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Our God is in the heavens, hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. It pleased the Lord to bruise him for the sins of his people, and it pleases the Lord to call his elect. So their power is limited. We see it in verse 5, verse 6. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and desire to die, and death shall flee from them. In this verse, we see the limit of false religion to hurt the elect, but not only limited to hurt, not limited to hurt the souls of the lost. Listen, false religion is not pleasant. It appears pleasant. And we're going to see this through this characters in just a minute. It appears pleasant. When I was a kid, they used to have pizza parties. Oh, man, you talk about getting me to church. If you wanted to get me to church, offer me a pizza. I'm telling you, it was pleasant. Oh, the joy we had. We played. We enjoyed ourselves. It appears joyful. But I tell you, its end is bitter. It's bitter. See the same young man growing up in that false religion and dying in that false religion and now is in hell. Tell me how much the pizza parties meant. It all appears pleasant. But I tell you, because its gospel is of hell, the result is eternal death. Result is eternal death. False religion is very hurtful. It promises freedom but cannot deliver. The only thing then that can free is Christ. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. And now then, let's go through the character of these. I'm going to run through this with you. The character of these false prophets. Verse 7. And the shape of these locusts were like horses prepared for battle, and their heads were as a crown with a crown of gold. And their faces were as the faces of men. False religion's militant, isn't it? False religion's militant. You want to see it? Look at the Muslim religion. Is that not militant? Oh yeah, you don't believe? Chop his head off. Don't be mistaken. Christianity's done the same thing over many years under the guise of Christianity. They've done the same thing. Why? Because false religion is militant. You don't believe this way, we'll take your job, we'll take your family, we'll do anything if you oppose us. They're militant. Yet they are given a crown. What is this crown? It is their self-righteousness. J.D. Farmer was talking about his uncle in a Methodist church. He said he had these badges of attendance that went all the way down to the floor. And he so proudly wore those every... Why? It was his righteousness. It was all his righteousness. Their faces were the faces of men. They seem very sympathetic, don't they? They seem very concerned about your troubles. That's why they have all these groups. Divorce group, drug addiction groups. All these groups, they appear, they have the faces of men as though they are men, though they have compassion on you. They appear sympathetic. They have hair like a woman. What is this? They're beautiful.
They're beautiful.
You walk into some of those Catholic cathedrals, what do you see? How beautiful they are, how they're dressed in their white robes with all of the gold and pictures. It's beautiful. You can't deny it's not beautiful. It's gorgeous. Their buildings are gorgeous. Their ceremonies are gorgeous. They're beautiful. Yet they have teeth like a lion. All of this beauty, they're like the harlot. You remember the harlot in Proverbs? She dresses herself up and allures the simpleton in and said, "Oh, I've made my sacrifices to God today. Oh, I've prepared myself." And sure enough, allures him in with her beauty. And what is the end? The prophet, Solomon said, her end is death. Death. And they had breastplates as the breastplates of iron that speaks of the hardness of their heart. They will not be moved from their gospel. And the sound of their wings is the sound of chariots and many horses running to battle. False religion moves fast, doesn't it? Someone said a lie will get around the world twice before truth gets its shoes on. There's some truth to that. They're fast. They spread around the world. They had tails like scorpions that sting their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And who is their king? And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, the one that opened this thing, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, and the Greek tongue, Apollyon, Satan. You listen, I want you to be clear. I want to be clear. Free will works religion call their God Jesus. They use the same name we do. But I want you to see the difference. Their God is not Christ, the Son of God. Their God is Satan. Their Christ cannot save. Their Christ has not accomplished redemption. Their God is dependent upon you. That is not God. That is not God. It's a false God. Who sees this? Only those sealed. And yes, these people are going to cause us much trouble in this world. They will. It's why God revealed it. Why God opened it to you. So you know them when they come. When you see them coming, you know who they are. So you're not deceived. Don't be moved from the simplicity that is in Christ. Don't be deceived by their beauty and deception and popularity. Man, they got so many people. You go out this way today, you better be ready because they're going to be pouring out of that big heathen building down there. They will. They'll pour out like locusts. So you might want to go another way. But I'm saying, don't be deceived by that. That has no effect. That has no bearing on truth. God is warning us about this. God is telling us about this. But what is to them a warning? It's to us just a seal. It's for our comfort to know that we won't be seduced by them. If you're a true believer, you won't be seduced by them. Why? Because you are sealed with the blood of the Son of God. He has chosen you, redeemed you, called you, and He will keep you. For it is not possible that the elect should be deceived. Jesus said those would be so beautiful, those false prophets would be so beautiful, that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. But it's not possible. Why? While these trumpets are blowing, you are safe. Safe. That's what He wants you to know. That's what He wants you to know by this. Pray God will give you grace to see it. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.